Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
That sounds nice.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks. Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Let me ask you a question. During the day, how does your attention impact you? How does your attention, what you notice in your body, your sense of things?
Great.
So funny, I have another line here. I did a series that I wanted to share with you guys because it opened the doorway to something. John, I think if you're speaking, I think your voice is coming through here.
Hello.
Is that possible? Oh, okay,
hello?
I thought maybe you were talking on another line. Are you talking another line? No.
No, I'm okay. No.
Okay, all right. We'll vote you innocent. John Adago, East meets West. Lisa LaRose, author, and he's at the head of the table today on the Vibrant Dialogue here on what we call Conversations and Awakening. Lisa LaRose, producer, family member. Wonderful, wonderful source of quotes, and I love the way you investigate things, Lisa, and come up with the heart of the matter. Really deeply appreciate that about you. Jana Carafa, world-class mime, innovator in the field of hot yoga. Just a wonderful human being. I had the first time I met Janet, we did a mime performance together on bridging the invisible world. How to go past the invisible world? How do we move past what seems like obstacles. I want you to start the program out, as we begin the whole program, on this experience of success without ambition. So what is success without ambition? I thought of something today because I thought it was so appropriate and something I wanted to open the conversation with. We talk about success without ambition. I did a series of programs on race car driving, and I work with the great Mario Andretti. One of the things he said to me, and I was just thinking, it's so perfect, this idea of success without ambition, without strain, without overdrive, hurry, burnout. So I asked Mario Andretti, I said, well, what do you feel basically allow you to experience this state of mind called a high-performance mind? We define it as a mind that's free and can move, but is not time-burdened. It's not time-burdened. Performance happens beyond time. He told me he could be one with the track, one with the car. And I said, well, how did that happen? And he said, early on in his life, he had two uncles or he had some family members, and they kept saying to him, don't put your ducks in a row. Don't put your ducks in a row. Let your eyes be there. And he said that to me, and I just remember it's just sinking in so deeply. Don't line your ducks up in a row. What does that mean? What does it mean to you? You know, we have so much that we close our attention around that creates tremendous tautness. John, you have a chapter in East Meets West on attention, and we were talking about this article from BuzzFeed that just talks about, it was focusing on millennials, saying that they feel so over drained, they barely have time for their lives. And we're just talking about specific to the millennials, and also contrasting how millennials had a lot of their schooling has been around the internet and tech, and not much play, not much open space. So the ambition part of success, it's usually taught attention and time tension. We feel we have to get things done. And usually during the have to get things done part, we feel immobilized and not a sense of flow. And what better way to get into this than say that of all the masters and people you've talked about in East Meets West, you know, I tend to think about Gurdjieff in the sense that he talked about we become like robots, but we become mechanical. And when we're mechanical, our mechanical thoughts run us, and we really don't, we're not human at that level. We just really are run by the thoughts, and we're lost in time. So I wanted to just have you share, as a practitioner of awakening and a retreat leader, what occurs to you when I say Mario Andretti said he didn't line his ducks up. He said he would just go on the race and just play and let his feel, let the feel for the racetrack occur in his body in awareness. It was really inspiring to me, by the way. Kind of the opposite of, I feel, a lot of us are taught to learn.
Yes, well, the master key to everything that we wish to do or accomplish is the attention we bring to each task day by day, hour by hour. It's the quality and the refinement of this attention, it's actually this consciousness that makes the difference between success and failure, between something unfolding harmoniously and something that's filled with errors and hiccups. Now, we spend a lot of time and energy in our life practicing things that we are interested or believe in. We may practice an instrument or practice a craft or a trade. We practice our profession. We may work hard to master a language. But we rarely spend time actually attempting to refine the master key to each of these activities, which is the attention we bring to the task at hand. Now, in any situation, there's a place where the attention needs to be focused. It's where the work is taking place. If we're working with a tool, like a broom or a shovel, the attention should be right where that tool is touching the ground. In a situation like speaking, well, where the attention needs to be is on the voice that's speaking. This is particularly important when the voice that happens to be speaking is your own. But we tend not to listen very carefully to what's being said. Often we're busy preparing our response, or something that the speaker says triggers an association, or we, for a moment we wander into the past, or we think about some future plan, and we actually miss the next few words or even a sentence or two of what's being spoken. Now, it's in this condition of where the attention is really playing touch and go at the moment that we live a lot of our lives. And so it's no wonder that we often find ourselves acting or speaking inappropriately to the situation.
I was going to have a financial gain because of that. Go ahead, John. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You're doing wonderful. Please continue.
What the master teachers taught was the ability to be present. That is, that the mind lines up where the body is. That we actually attend to our present surroundings and where we are and the work that's in front of us. With practice, the refinement of attention happens. The quality of the attention that we can bring to any task grows stronger. And this is how a man or a woman matures in any activity, in his profession, in his trade, in whatever the activity is.
You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network. John Adago, author of East Meets West and other books on awareness and awakening. And we're having our open table today, our wisdom table. I'm going to invite you to call in about 12:15, by the way, 1:15. I was on two different time zones for a moment. And by the way, I want to go to Lisa because, John, Lisa laughed when I said Mario Andretti said he said he learned how to not line his ducks up in a row. That had struck me a lot because a lot of conversations I have with him. Tell me, I want to know what you were laughing about. That really caught me. How did that strike you?
Well, actually, it was the I think you're bringing the Italian in today. I think you.
Yes.
We're bringing lots of different people to the table. We know we're with John Adago and Janet Carafa, and I'm half Italian, so you know.
Wow, I'm digging it.
Italian table. There's always a really big, warm-hearted, lots of food and lots of amazing. You know, I would like to acknowledge Jonah and say thank you so much for the generous gift of the books that you sent, and I've been really enjoying them. And I know Glenn has probably not reached this chapter, but I don't ever read a book from front to back. I always
me neither.
Things that really move me. And one of the things, John, I want to share with you, and I think it's so in alignment with what Glenn is speaking about, and also what you just shared, is that in this book, East Meets West, which is so has so many wonderful masters in it, in towards the end, when you wrote the chapter about the author, you spoke about your grandmother. And she, you know, I pulled the quote from your book today, which was, some are gifted with intelligence, some with pure heart and a strong will, some with a body that has skills and a strength. Mary was gifted with all three. And as I read that chapter and I read the stories about who your grandmother was, I think from your words, and I'd love for you to share a little bit more about her as a master, she really did embody attention. She put, you know, attention to her family, attention to the details. I mean, the fact that she did embroidery, I mean, to have that skill and that craft, and, you know, to gift so much, you know, I had to chuckle, and I don't want to give too much away in the chapter, but the fact that she submitted a recipe for something that she never even made, and she won a prize being able to be put on the back of a box, and then, you know, but I think it just really epitomizes exactly what both you and Glenn are saying, whether she didn't have to be Mario Andretti and win the accolades of fame and fortune, you know, in her own presence, in what was important to her and her family, she was the star. And she made you feel like you were the star, and I think was truly a master and a guiding force in bringing you to forth and probably still supporting you today so that you can share these beautiful messages with the world. And I would love to ask you, in growing up in that environment with her presence, and how did she share her attention and things like that? What would it be like to be at her table? John,
well,
are you
my
there?
I am. My grandmother was a lady of very few words, actually. It was her actions through which she loved us. She cared for everyone around her. This was a woman that immigrated when she was 14 to the United States from Italy, married at 17, had five children, and lived a full life, a life in which she took care of everybody around her. She was a very devout woman. She was a woman that attended Mass 7 days a week. And when I asked my aunt once, how long has that been going on? My aunt, who was her oldest daughter, said, well, as long as anybody can remember. When she heard that somebody was in difficulty or had a problem, she wasn't so concerned with the details because her response was the same. She included them in her daily prayers. Mm-hmm. This is a woman that showered people with love. And we all felt it. We all might not have been cognizant of it in the moment, but there was a sense of what you could almost call a spiritual or a divine presence. This was unconditional love. I was her first grandson, so I was told there was a special place in her heart for me. And it is something that from time to time during my life, when I was in difficulties, I knew that she cared about me, that she loved me. So she went about a simple life doing what needed to be done, quite selflessly, with a lot of joy, but a quiet happiness. This was not a lady that you heard burst out in laughter or in song. This was a lady who simply went about maintaining a rich home amidst the Depression and amidst very serious economic circumstances at different times of her life. Arriving as an immigrant with nothing is not easy. And I never heard her complain. And I also never saw her waste anything.
John, we're going to take a brief. We're going to take a brief pause. I want you to give out your. Then we're going to turn the table. We're going to invite Janet to share with Janet Carafa.
Sure.
Give out your website. Give out your website if you would, please. And then we're going to open up the phone line as well.
The journeyback.net. TheJourneyBack.net. The book is Ancient Wisdom Can Enrich Your Life Today, and East Meets West.
Stay with us. I'm Glenn Brooks. Your life's precious and right. We open the phone calls. We got a couple of people calling in. Conversations in Awakening. You ready to wake up a little bit more? I know I am. Stay with us. Thank you.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network. I also want to announce today that John Adaga will be part of Om Times Radio with his columns and writings, including Attention, How to Go Beyond the Madness of Life, How to Find Serenity No Matter What's Going On. Look for that in Om Times Magazine. With us, John Adaga, the author of East Meets West, in our conversation of Awakenings. Conversations in Awakenings. It's beyond a conversation time. It's a movement. It's a wink. It's a blink. Lisa LaRose and Janet, where we're going to practice these. We're going to practice. Yeah, hello to you. How are you?
Hi.
Aloha. It's great hearing your voice. You know, I got to have Chris. It's wonderful to have you. You know, I want to say that as I listen to John and Lisa, I was just thinking about the opportunity of practicing attentional flexibility and mobility, and having that in Kauai, where we're going to do our retreat with Don Adago. And so, as you, I know you're preparing to teach in a little bit, Janet. How's the conversation? I love Lisa's comments on the Italian part of the conversation. You know, I grew up not far from a town called, I grew up not far from Massapequa. Do you know Massapequa, Long Island?
Yeah. You ever heard of that, Massapequa? They call it matzah pizza. Matzah pizza. There's a lot of Jews and Italians. So I went, when Lisa said that, I thought Massapequa. So what strikes you when you listen to this conversation with Lisa and John about this attention that you practice and live from?
Right, exactly. I have simple exercises or just little moments that you can use and actually actively take yourself to this place where you're. What I'm hearing is John's beautiful grandmother was showered people with love. She was in touch with the divine presence. She was just in touch with it. So she had that flowing from her naturally. And when we get out of that, which everybody does, you get into your mind too much, you're not listening. You're not listening to the silence, which is the divine presence, or looking at the space where awareness, spontaneously creative awareness flows from. So how to, when you're in the middle of work day or wherever you are, I have a couple of exercises that I do as a mime and as a yoga instructor that I offer. So one would be, okay, so as you're sitting wherever you are, focus on one place. So you're actually in focus. Your eyes are in focus. Now, go behind your eyes, and that's where the optic nerves are connected with the brain, and just relax back there and relax a little deeper into the brain behind the optic nerves. Now, focus on what you're focusing on clearly. That is a balancing. So you may soften, your eyes may blur a little, bring them into focus, but keep the softness. It takes you to a whole other place.
Go run it one more time, Janet.
The mind.
Run it one more time. It's very beautiful. Yeah, one more time. I just want to breathe it in. It's beautiful.
Okay. So look at something wherever you are. A wall, a picture, wherever you are. If you're driving, watch the road. and actually focus and see the difference between blurring your eyes and focusing. So you're in focus. And then go behind, just take your awareness and go behind to the optic nerves. You have optic nerves that connect your eyes to the brain. And relax there. Okay, just relax behind the eyes. Now go a little further back into the brain and relax there. It's an actual sensation. Soften. Now, notice if your focus blurred, it might have, because you want to find that. But take the focus into clarity. So it's a clear focus, but soft. You're completely soft, and you're looking from no tension, no thought even. But whether there's thoughts there or not, it doesn't matter. Just keep everything soft, and it takes you to a different place. And if you can go there, even for a moment once a day, then maybe you can do it twice a day. Then maybe you can do it when things get really stressed and something happens and you're really stressed. You can go, okay, let me just focus and relax, focus and relax, focus and relax. You're in a totally different space. You're in the dimension of divine presence. So
Janet, go on, give up. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Janet. Go ahead.
Okay. Give out my website. Is that what you're saying? Yeah,
your website. I want to mention, as you're speaking, we didn't share this yet with the audience, Janet. I think the only person I think that's aware of this recording is Lisa. We featured a woman from Canada who regenerated her optic nerve over a year. And it was just so beautiful to hear her story of I guess you could say it was a story of faith and practice. And what you're saying, very rarely do we live in this awareness of this space behind the eyes. This space behind our eyes is just an amazing space of wonder. And so you're the first person in so long that has shared that. And I realize that we forget sometimes, you know, Dr. Bates, who wrote Seeing Without Your Glasses, he talked about it so much of the time. What did he say? That the culture is addicted to three things. So the first thing we're addicted to is our thinking. Obviously, we have a thought addiction. Then we're addicted to our glasses. So he talked about strain. And when you share that beautiful awareness, it's a wonderful way to tune in and to relieve, to become conscious of the strain and drop back behind our eyes into our optic nerve and just, you said relax there, be there. It's very striking. Please go on. Yeah, give out your website. And then we're going to, on the next show, we're going to focus on the event we're putting together in Hawaii with John, of course. And we'll get more into this attention, part two. And we'll talk about bringing this into retreat. Go ahead with your website.
Well, I have two. Hot Yoga Princeville, PRINCEVILLE.com. is the yoga studio here on Kauai. And then Art of Mime, MIME.com, is my mime website about performing mime and teaching mime. So those are my two websites.
That's good. That's good.
And
yeah.
John's site, if you are interested in ordering the book, it's thejourneyback.net. And the book that I was speaking about is East Meets West. So, going to continue the exploration of that. I'm very excited.
By the way, that was a beautiful way you set that up, Lisa, with John and his grandmother. That was a rich piece of soul and union, and appreciating all my Italian friends because of you, Lisa.
We're supposed to
contact people in the Alfa Romeo community this week. So because of you, obviously you pushed it on.
Yeah, and thank you, John, for sharing a little bit more about your grandmother. Wish I could have met her.
Yeah. Chris, do we have Scott Beyra or we have any callers calling in? I just want to check because I know we had open lines. So I want to see if anybody's there. Chris, my major humor partner behind the scenes. Thank you today, Chris. I appreciate the humor behind the scenes. Thank you. Listening to the Vibrant Living Network. Chris, I wonder if Chris is one of those people like he did something, but the teacher didn't see it. The teacher would usually see me and they asked me to leave. And when I got asked to leave, I began to really appreciate it. Like, finally, I get to read something I'm interested in, something that I'm going to find awakening. We'll be looking to Conversations in Awakening. And I promised Scott Beyra at the Stowflake, one of our featured Vibrant Living towns. Stowe, Vermont, is also known as the Relaxation Town. People travel the world to be there. I first got recognized when I was there as the man who gets paid to go on vacation. Because when I go on vacation, this gets back to what Janet's doing in Kauai and our retreat upcoming with John Adago in Hawaii, is that to vacate our knownness, to vacate the habitual habits, and to walk and waken in a different way. At Princeton University, when Ashley Montague was 85 years young, he wrote a book called Growing Young. We talked about how the culture, we're conditioned to age from our assumptions and conclusions, and they catch our bodies. So the idea of spending 7 days in Kauai with Jenna Caratha and John, and to just use this time to detoxify and to experience the experience of the remarkable. So I want to say that we're putting an event together that John will be speaking at. Let's see if we get Janet to the East Coast, sneak away from Kauai a few days. We're putting an event together called the Vibrant Living Summit. I work with people around the world on becoming vibrant speakers. And the idea of vibrant speakers, you don't have to rehearse or have a script. The idea is that you become alive and pay attention to what's from the inside out, and you get a vibrant speaking partner. And this sort of came, and that's what I want to get into in a moment. This sort of came to me in my relationship with the Stowflake 22 years ago. I used to go there and bring my children, and I found being in the mountains there incredibly replenishing and very relational. I felt like it deepened. You know, a lot of people know me because I've written this book, and I'm making a movie called The Announcement. And the book is called Divorce the Patterns, Not Each Other. We'll be presenting the weekend at Menla. Bringing John up there with me, by the way. We're hoping to set some dates to be able to be live from Menla
in the Catskills, very sacred area, beautiful property, and Nate Hughes made that connection. You know, I guess what it comes down to, and you talk about your grandmother, it just seemed as places of family or places we experience another dimension of ourselves, something beyond the usual. And so I'm happy to say that we have this relationship with Stowe, and we'll be announcing dates for the Vibrant Living Speaking Summit. If you're also interested in speaking there, or you're interested in being part of Vibrant Speaking, you can be in touch with me. My website is vibrantlivingnetwork.com, vibrantlivingnetwork.com. Okay, a lot of questions came in today. And before the show, people brought up Janet, Lisa, and John. What do they call it? I guess attentional fixation. When it seems that things that are bothering you or the sense of time pressure. That's the three things that people said to me. They said a sense of time pressure. This is what keeps us out of the remarkable, this sense of pressure, a disconnection from the rhythm of the divine, or this sense of wonder, right? So, John, since attention is something that we can impact and we can open and that we can become more flexible with, and I deeply appreciated Janet's exercise and Lisa's mention of the contribution of the Italian culture. Very nicely done, Lisa. I know all our Italian people are going to write letters about that. What would you say? So during the day, when we sense we're in a mechanical thing, we feel like our thoughts are running us, or the time thoughts, our fast thinking is leading to a sense of rush and hurriedness. What's an exercise you want to share for people?
Well, the first thing to remember is that were you speaking to me?
It's you. It's you, 100%, John.
The first thing to remember when tension begins to be sensed is that it's not coming from the situation or the circumstance. The situation is what it is. The tension arises because there's a desire arising within ourselves that wants to get something out of or is in opposition to what's happening now. And the exercise is to simply step back and be aware of ourself in that moment. Because what I am as a man or a woman, as a manifestation of consciousness, as a manifestation of something divine, what I am is not dependent on whether the person I'm engaging approves of me or not. It's not dependent on the weather or economic conditions or any circumstance. I am. I exist. I am aware. And in a moment when we come back to that presence, the tension dissolves. Now, there still may be a need to respond to the situation. There may be a goal in mind, something that needs to be accomplished right there in the moment. But what has to be remembered is it's not what's in the situation for me that counts, because that's the way we habitually react to a situation. Something comes up, and the first impulse is, well, you know, how's this affect me? How's this get me what I want? How does this affect my well-being? What are my fears and desires? But the more mature response is, what is my duty or responsibility in this moment? How do I care for this situation, or how do I care for the person in front of me? So the emphasis shifts from what's in it for me to right action. So what the Buddhists call dharma, how is it that in this moment my thoughts and actions line up with a higher good? That takes me out of the equation. And in doing so, the tension drops away.
That's beautiful. I'm going to need to leave now, just so you say aloha to everybody.
Aloha, Jenna. Much love.
Okay. Aloha.
Aloha.
No, I was just thinking about, I have questions from students today. Paul says, I'm listening to you, John, right now, and I want to acknowledge he says he's taking a lot of mushrooms. Finals are coming. Dear John, there's finals coming up, and I feel undue stress and strain to the point of going crazy. I've been medicating myself or using therapeutic mushrooms. Any comment about mushrooms or recreational drugs as it relates to awareness, Paul?
Okay. Is that question directed to me?
It's directed to me. It says John.
Yeah. psychedelics give someone what some people call a stolen glimpse.
Mm.
They put you in touch with a different state of awareness. They make you aware that there are different states of awareness and that it's possible to reach them. To that extent, it can be useful. The problem is that higher state of mind is accomplished without any work on your part. Without the effort and the knowledge that comes with it, what one is left with is the experience and not the substance. Some people, people like Aldous Huxley, who wrote The Doors of Perception, spoke about his use of mescaline. And some other mystics have spoken about how they use these chemicals. But they were used for a very short period of time. The way they become a problem for the individual and society is they then chase the experience. They want it over and over again, and they keep going back to the use of the chemical. And they tend to lead one to a fractured state of attention as opposed to a unified state of attention.
Say more about that, John. I love that point. What's the distinction between a unified state?
Well, if we come back again to this phrase of stolen glimpse.
Yes, yes.
It's something you got that you, without the knowledge, effort, and discipline that the mystics use to acquire, to reach the same place. It doesn't yield a positive change in one's life. It may open a window and give you a view of a potential or a possibility, but it doesn't teach you how to live there, how to get there on your own, and how to use that.
Stay with us. Stay with us. More conversations and awakening. John Adago, East Meets West. Lisa LaRose is going to have another moment from the Italian culture. I love what you had to say before. I love Mario Andretti, by the way. You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network on a free flow moment. We got some cool questions for John Adago, including what to do about an unexpected pregnancy and more. How to live in this world beyond all the craziness with serenity. Stay with us.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Stolen Glimpse. You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network, John Adago, East Meets West, Lisa LaRose. Producer, inquiring mind, traveler. Good laughter from Lisa's coming today. I feel the vibration of laughter from you, Lisa. I want to thank Crazy Noodles today for being our host. As I'm sitting at Crazy Noodles, or the proximity Crazy Noodles, at 36 Main Street in Amherst. Crazy Noodles, where they have a ton of gluten-free dishes, a lot of homemade stuff. Okay, Lisa, what should I go to? I got three questions for John. Oh, by the way, the idea of a stolen glimpse. As we have people more and more, I have so many people, some retreat centers all around Costa Rica for the $4,000. People go there and they're doing these ayahuasca ceremonies, John. A stolen glimpse. We got to get into that. That's a powerful comment from Alex Huxley. All right, Lisa, I think I'm going to read this first one. Okay, this is from Elena. Elena says to me, she says, John, I've been practicing yoga. I've been practicing meditation. Just recently, she's a senior at Howard University. Just recently, I discovered I was pregnant unexpectedly, and I've been embracing the pregnancy. And at the same time, she's embracing the pregnancy. She says it doesn't fit in with her original plan. So the question is, what happens when life throws you something like a pregnancy that's a blessing or a wonderful thing, and at the same time feels like it's getting in the way of your plans? How do you find a divine choice in a tough situation? How do you take a divine choice? Same thing around divorce. These things that sort of come in. She wants to know what you'd give her any feedback about an unexpected pregnancy and how to deal through this from a higher place.
Well, this is a pretty big question. And it's a circumstance that we all encounter during our lives, where suddenly we find that we're presented with circumstances that were not our choice. They arose. I remember there was a time in my life when I was spending some time alone in the mountains, and every morning I woke up and I was, I just went up, it was near sunrise, and I would go up to this hill, and I'd look up at the sky.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd like to formulate a prayer. And but nothing really came to mind. I mean, what is it that an adult prays for? I don't know, win the lottery? Or what are you, be a better person? And what came was, Thy will be done. And that was a prayer that I said every morning for about a week. And during the next few months, my life changed in very dramatic ways. And in ways that I would have never necessarily chosen or envisioned. But they were certainly very positive changes. Sometimes we're led, and sometimes we're led in ways that we didn't envision. Initially, the lady said, you know, there was a part of her that welcomed this event.
Yeah.
She knew something very special and sacred was happening. And then you realize that perhaps you got what you want, but now you have to accept everything that goes along with it. There's no question that when a child enters the picture, the life changes dramatically. It does not go back to the way it was, because there's another life in the picture. But it's a circumstance that's full of love and joy, as well as sacrifice and effort. It sounds to me like the lady has had a very mature response to this situation, which can be quite unsettling, because her plans are going to have to alter. But they will probably alter in a way that will lead to a much richer sense of her life and her purpose.
You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network, John Adago, East Meets West, Conversations and Awakening along with Lisa LaRose. Jenna Carafa from Hawaii, she walks into our studio there. I want to thank Chris Buck, Om Times Radio. Having this vibrant collaboration with Om Times Radio for our network and expanding has just been fabulous. And I want to say that as John talks about a bigger impulse, I was also thinking about Chris just then and Lisa and John, my miraculous children who are in my soul and life every moment, Michael Brooks and Alicia Brooks, and certainly Dee, their mother, just have changed every dimension. So it's, as John, you say that, I realize that sometimes it's so hard to predict what looks like it could be a catastrophe that doesn't make any sense. The moment it doesn't make any sense to do something, like keep a child, doesn't make any sense to your mind, and yet you do it and your life unfolds in a way you could never have predicted. Those are the moments. Serenity is an unusual blessing and gift. You know, John, those moments where it seems like it, you know, people say it doesn't make any sense. You know, rationally, the mind, it doesn't make any sense to the rational mind, but it makes sense to a deeper pulse. You know, with couples, I've met many couples now, they were going to divorce and they didn't. And they say years later, it's been so deep and wondrous. How would you say meeting the challenge of those moments where the rational mind just says, no way, we're getting out of here, we're doing something different, right? It seems so imperative. It's almost like the reptile brain, a new series by my speakers, Rita and Marissa, which will also be on Om Times magazine. How to deal with your reptile brain. You have a reptile brain. It wants to do things that drive you crazy. How do you see it? So you can respond from this other big part of the brain or a big part of your being and your will. So you have a conscious will. What about, John, those moments where someone's in a situation right now where a whole bunch of people have said to them, you better do this, and they kind of think rationally, yes, but their heart and their soul has a different impulse. How do you find soul impulse in absolutely unbearable circumstance?
Well, you may have to first extricate yourself from the unbearable circumstance.
A practical answer, John. I like that. Leave the fire.
You can't perform a religious ceremony in the middle of a hurricane. Yes.
Right.
You have to get some order into your life. Or at least into the moment, into the day, you get a little bit of distance from yourself in the situation. And that's not just a physical distance. That's a distance because you separate yourself in the moment from the desires and fears that are pushing and pulling you in this situation. That's what's creating the confusion and the chaos, because the desires are often conflicting and taking us in opposite directions. What we have to do is come back to ourself. Take a moment. Feel the feet on the ground. Feel the play of air on the face. Open up the attention. Look at the sky. Hear the sounds around you. A practical thing to do is listen to the furthest sound that you can hear. Include that in your scope of attention. Now, from that expanded perspective, the dilemma might not seem so overwhelming. And yet you still have to deal with the circumstance, the situation. But you deal with it from a knowledge of who and what you are, and a knowledge that who and what I am is not dependent on whether the situation goes this way or that way. I'm here. Our successes are rarely permanent. Our failures are rarely fatal. What's important is the perseverance to continue to follow the good and the right and the true.
Listening to the Vibrant Living Network, John Adago, East Meets West. Lisa LaRose, who represents the feminine principle today here on the Vibrant Living Network. Lisa, do you feel, as John's speaking, that there's a feminine way that embraces things in a more yielding way? As John's speaking, there's a universal thing he's saying, but do you feel from a feminine way that's a gift to the masculine? Like, what's if there was a missing dimension from just a generic, a feminine awareness that's transformed your way of being in your body as a woman? Anything that you want to add? She did drop off. The whole party went away for a second. We got John here. Continue. John, do you feel there's a way? Thanks, Chris. Do you feel there's a way that practice is different or complementary when men and women come together, that there's a way of holding us either in the masculine or the feminine that's a gift to each other, that is, in other words, what do you see as distinct, or what's the mutual gift we have to offer each other as men and women from a spiritual point of view?
Well, you know, there's often a question about, you know, are men and women equal? And, mm-hmm. and really it's the wrong question, because we're not equal, we're complementary. Our natures are very different. Mm-hmm. Although we share this common sense of soul or life or consciousness, yet we're here fulfilling different functions. You know, the male reaches out. He stretches limits. He accomplishes. He conquers. The female supports, nurtures, devotes. And the two clearly overlap. And there are many women with very strong masculine aspects and many men who are very sensitive. But this doesn't negate the fact that it's the female that perpetuates and nurtures the species.
It's doing a show.
Yeah. And it's the male that, in a sense, protects the female and the child. We have different roles to play, and so we're given different strengths and weaknesses. But, viva the difference, yes?
The beauty. We're doing something very unique. We're going to announce something end of the month that I think is going to be so distinct and profound and wondrous around when men and women, the power we come together, how we come together, and how the masculine brain and feminine brain feeds each other, and then, if you will, the wonder of that. We're gonna do a whole series on that. John, why don't you go ahead and give out your website? Thanks. By the way, continue. Give out your website. We got a couple of minutes. Go ahead.
I was gonna say
yes.
I came back to my grandmother. For sheer,
yes.
Clearly, it's what brings the male and the female, what brings us all together is love. And by love, yeah. we mean yeah. we sacrifice our self-interest for the benefit of the people around us. Our aim, our goal, and our work is to create harmony around us. And what we get back is being allowed to enjoy and experience the harmony and the growth in the people around us. The books are Ancient Wisdom Can Enrich Your Life Today and East Meets West. They're both available on Amazon. And I can be reached through thejourneyback.net, thejourneyback.net. If that lady that asked that question would like to communicate further, she's free to contact me, as
beautiful,
is anybody
beautiful.
Else.
Elena, beautiful. And John will be part of the Vibrant Living Network section on Om Times Magazine, where you can catch John's articles and other articles about the awakening with John Adago. John, thank you. It's been a wonderful way to spend lunch. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Jen. And thank you, Chris. We'll be with you next week. And I usually like to leave something with the audience, John. Why don't you leave something with the audience they could bring into their life that might be a source of renewal and awakening during this week, they could bring to each other, a relational prayer, if you will, a relational awareness.
As Jesus said at the Last Supper,
yes,
love one another as I have loved you.
Much love to the audience. Appreciate you very much. And so enthused to meet you at our events, including our upcoming Vibrant Living Summit, our event with John at Karafa, and John Adago in Kauai. Thank you. Your life's precious and joy. And again, deep, deep appreciation for Chris and all the wonderful people and my partner, Om Times Radio. Thank you. I'm Glenn Brooks, and I'll speak to you next Thursday as we expand our hours and put more vibrant living. I'll share that with you, that awakening of vibrant living. Thank you, John Adago.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.